Scripture says that God our Savior desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. But what is the truth? And how do we gain that knowledge? The answer to these questions and more in today's edition of Faith with Father. Living Bread Radio presents Faith with Father, a program aimed at teaching today's culture the truth about the Catholic faith. And now here's your host, Tim Perry.
Hello, and welcome to this edition of Faith with Father. I'm your host, Tim Perry, and with me today in studio is Father Don Feit, a retired priest of the Diocese of Youngstown. Welcome, Father.
Thank you, Tim. It's really good to be back.
Great. Well, today we're going to begin our discussion from the UCAT, and that's the Youth Catechism, Section 2. And that's how we celebrate the mysteries of our faith as Catholics. So let's begin today by discussing liturgy. Let's define what liturgy is, if we could, Father.
Sure. A good definition would be, right from the Catechism, that liturgy is the official divine worship of the Church. I can say more about it than that, but that's a good nutshell, you know. Official. It's not just private prayer. It's the official divine worship. It's of God, and it's of the Church.
Okay.
Liturgy is an ancient word, comes from the work of the people, and it comes from the Greek people. Of course, they had liturgies to honor their gods in the Greek religions, but we take that word and say, this is a work that is, it's of God. And so liturgy is always official. It's always focused on the Lord, and it's of the Church.
Okay. Beautiful. And so why does the Church celebrate the liturgy so often?
Well, I think it's we walk in the footsteps of our Jewish brothers and sisters. And we know that way back King David said in one of the Psalms that we give praise to God. I praise you, God, seven times a day, not once a week. We know that there's the keeping of the Sabbath, but liturgy, as we see it, is something that's always going on because it has not only the earthly dimension, but the heavenly as well. We'll talk about some of these things this week. And since God is always the focus of the heavenly liturgy, it makes sense that we, every day, participate in the liturgy of God. Jesus participated in the liturgies of his people, and then he taught them to participate in the most wonderful liturgy of all, which is that of the upper room, the gift of himself that he gave us in the Last Supper, the Holy Eucharist. So the Church remembers his words, do this in remembrance of me. And the Catholic Church didn't take long before we not only were celebrating the Eucharist every Lord's Day, Sunday, but also even during the week. We realize that just as we need air as people to stay alive, the Church needs to breathe too. We live and we breathe by celebrating our liturgy. That's where we experience the presence of Jesus in a way that's so remarkably close to us. It's the best way we celebrate Jesus. Not the only way, but it certainly is the way that day by day we are enriched with the beautiful gifts that God wants to give us when we come into the liturgy of the mystical body of Christ. And I say mystical because Jesus is always there. We're going to talk about that too. Mm-hmm. It's not just that we people are worshiping. It's the worship of Jesus, of his own Father, that we're participating in.
And Padre Pio said that the earth could more easily survive without the sun than it could without the Mass.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah, so that yeah. Leads me into my next question is, why is the liturgy so important in the life of the Church, and more particularly in the life of an individual?
Well, it's important because, well, let me put it this way. Some years ago, some of us are old enough to remember, there was a council of bishops that came together. John the 23rd, our pope at that time, said we need to reflect on who we are as a church and make ourselves more attractive and more appealing to the hearts of people everywhere. And the first thing we have to do, therefore, we have to look at how we pray. And so the very first document that was produced by the council was one on liturgy. And in there, we say the liturgy is the absolute summit. It's the summit toward which everything the church does is directed. No matter what we're doing, you know, we could be feeding some people on a certain day. We could be visiting the sick. We could be consoling somebody, the spiritual and corporal works of mercy. But all of those climax in the liturgy. It's the summit. But it's also, liturgy is also a font. It's like a fountain. From what flows from a fountain? Beautiful water. If you ever see St. Peter's and those two beautiful fountains there in front of the church. Liturgy is like that. It's a font. And what flows from that? Spiritual power, the love and the faith and the hope that we so need, all that that we need in our daily lives, it flows from the liturgy. So it's both summit and font. And people could see in Jesus, when they came around him, they felt a healing presence, a loving presence. And he's still with us, sharing all that with us. And how is he present? In two most beautiful ways. We certainly know how we are told, if you feed me, when you clothe me, when you console me, we know that he's present in all the people we serve. But we also know he's present most particularly when we gather for the Holy Eucharist, which is the ultimate liturgy, really, that we celebrate as a Catholic people. We're just right with him there. And it's Jesus who's teaching us, who's feeding us and transforming us. So why does it have priority? Well, you know, there's lots of wonderful people in our lives, our moms and our dads and our spouses and our children and our leaders, teachers and presidents and everybody are important in some way to us. But who could be more important than Jesus is to those of us who have been reborn into his life?
And I think, too, Father, that liturgy really becomes exciting when you sense that God himself is present at the Mass under the sacred signs and its precious and often ancient prayers, the beautiful prayers of the liturgy of the Eucharist.
That's right.
Again, we can sense that God is not only present, but that in worshiping him, we're becoming united in union with God. Yeah.
And you never know how you're going to be touched. I know some people will say to me, Tim, I can't go to Mass right now because if I do, I cry. You know, they're maybe going through a time of grief. And I always think myself, and I try to share with them that, you know, I don't think anybody's going to think the worse of you if they see you dabbing your cheeks because tears are running down, you know. Mm-hmm. I think it'll probably touch somebody else that maybe needs to be touched by seeing your grief, that something Jesus is doing with you there is bringing out something that very much needs, those tears need to flow. And what better place to do it than with Jesus? That when you say God is there,
If you think about it too, Father, it's really selfish when somebody makes excuses not to go to Mass because by not going, they're being selfish and not sharing themselves in unity with the other members of the congregation and worshiping God.
That's right. And it's like when you have a broken arm, you don't cut it off from the rest of your body to get it healed, huh?
Good point.
You have to put a sling on and everything, keep it close to you so that it can heal with you. And I think the same thing, that's what you're saying. When we have special needs, whether for healing or for sharing joy, we do it with the body. We are one body in Christ. I remember that at the World Youth Day when Pope John Paul came to Denver for that World Youth Day, and the kids were all singing with it. We are one body in Christ. That touched me. I mean, I was only just in front of a television, but I felt like I was right there at that Mass. It was just such an electrifying moment for me. And how much more for those who are actually there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think it's good to know, too, that all of us are going to have ups and downs in our lives. So if we can get in the habit of going to Mass not just every Sunday and every holy day, but also sneak away and get there during the week.
That's right.
And again, unite ourselves with the other members of the congregation for the purpose of union with God, ourselves with God.
People who have begun, Tim, to do that, I think you know, once you get bit by the bug, that liturgy, Holy Mass, is something that can help you every day. People who start many times after they've retired and have time to do that, they just never want to quit. And as long as they can walk, they're going to be there. Because at first, sometimes they just start like baby steps, just a day or two. But then next thing you know, they're there every day that we make it available to them.
Uh-huh. Another thing I like to do when I'm celebrating the liturgy during the week in particular with my friends and family is to pray for people who can't be there, whether they're working or even members of my family who have passed away, to unite with them as well by praying for their them and in case they're in purgatory, to lessen their time in purgatory and help them along to heaven.
And that's exactly what you're saying, what we were saying at the beginning here today, that liturgy is not just of this little group. We're always the communion of saints, you know, in heaven, purgatory, and on earth. We're always together worshiping with Jesus, our Heavenly Father.
Some of the saints have even mentioned, Father, that when they've had some visions at Mass, at Holy Mass, they've seen angels and saints that are there around the altar and with the congregation worshiping God. So it's all factions of the church together worshiping and,
right,
and united to God.
Isn't it funny how sometimes you don't think of that? I remember one time a priest telling me that he had told his people about all the angels that were there, and I had never thought of that. I don't know why, or just I probably heard it somewhere, but you have to somehow begin to sense that that's so true.
So explain a little bit, Father, what happens to us when we celebrate the liturgy. What actually occurs? What happens to us?
Well, it's an experience of what Jesus said when he said to us, he said, I come that you might have life and have it to the full. Huh? And so what happens, it's a setting aside of the busy, busy, busy lives that we lead. You know, most of us listening to us right now, Tim, they're busy going to work or going to school or going home to rest after work. But it's a time of pausing and listening to the Spirit. It's the Spirit that draws us to Mass, and it's the Spirit that begins to speak to us through the various ways that the Spirit wishes to do that, by help getting us into a psalm, giving us the word of the Lord. I always say, when I put the hosts in the little paten for daily Mass or the big ciborium of Sunday Mass, each host represents you, your family. And so I'm being caught up into Jesus, and he's right here. He's listening to me. He's helping me to praise when I don't feel like it. Maybe he's going to feed my soul with a courage to go on, to persevere if I'm having trouble doing that. He's going to give me a joy that I may not feel when I first walk in. As one man said to me, Father Don, why do you look so worried today? Aren't you happy? Aren't you full of joy? And I said, well, I think so. He says, well, then you better tell your face. You know? So, in other words, he was inviting me into the Mass, I think, without realizing it. That's what I needed to come for.
Uh-huh. And again, if we experience that true joy in the liturgy, we're going to not only feel it, but like you say, our face will know it, and we'll be able to share that with others.
That's right.
Well, wonderful. Well, again, Father, thanks for joining us today and sharing those thoughts about liturgy. And we're going to be going forward with it in our next show as well.
Good.
So I want to thank you for joining us today. This is Tim Perry. Until next time, may the light of the Father shine upon you and yours. Bye for now.
This has been Faith with Father, a production of Living Bread Radio in Canton, Ohio. For an audio archive of this program, log on to livingbreadradio.com and click on Faith with Father. If you have a question or comment about today's program, email us at askfather@livingbreadradio.com. And join us again next time for another edition of Faith with Father.